Welcome to the Coven of Awesomeness podcast. This is episode 141. Louise, you hanging in there? How's it going?
I'm hanging in there by what seems like a thread at this point in time. Not really. It's all been good stuff. I'm just really, really tired. I was traveling for work at the end of last week, start of this week. We traveled up to the island of Orkney, which is really quite far away from where I live.
Is that the one on the maps where they always like fake like it's much closer than it really is? Or is that the Shetland?
I can never remember which is which, to be quite honest. Orkney's okay. On the kind of like east side of the top of Scotland. Like it's like right up the top if you were to go to like John O'Groats.
Yeah.
Orkney's that side of Scotland, so it's like right.
I mean, it's practically the North Pole.
Essentially, yeah. It's like really, really far away. So yeah, Shetland is quite far away. It's even further away than Orkney is, like more northeasterly than that. So it's quite far away. There was a lot of traveling. I was obviously working while I was there, and it was great. I had an excellent time. But yeah, it's just been a lot. And then we've been doing various other stuff this week, and work is just always busy. So it's been a lot. So yeah, things have been a bit up in the air this week. How have things been with you?
Fine.
That good, yeah.
I don't know. I'm really tired, and I can't think of a good reason why I should be so tired. So I'm just telling myself it's great. Everything's great. It's going to be fine. Just keep lying to your brain, because I don't know what else to do, because it's not like there's something going on that I can fix. So
as always, I like to blame the moon. In our timeline, it's a waning moon phase. So I would say that the moon is telling you just to lie down.
I mean, that's all I've really wanted to do for the past couple of weeks. I think I definitely have like symptoms of burnout.
Okay.
But I can't, like, I've already taken more of a break than I can really afford. So,
Yeah. Maybe it's about finding little ways that you can rest and like rejuvenate yourself without like taking time off work. So what's little things that you can put in place? But then when you're feeling burnt out, that feels like work to try and make yourself feel better.
Yeah, I have been doing, I mean, even I would say I've been doing more than the minimum. I've been doing okay in terms of keeping up with the work. It's fine, but I'm just like, I feel really flat.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like there's just, it's difficult to summon up any emotions other than bleh.
Yeah. And I think like this time of year probably doesn't help as well. It's, yeah, we've passed in bulk, but it has not improved the weather in the slightest. It's still very grey and very windy and very cold and very wet. So yeah, it's not the ideal time of year to also feel those feelings either.
So, you know, life goes on.
Yep.
Make it work, figure it out, and just ride with it. I am an emotional in human design, so I'm like, this is just what the universe is serving me right now, and it'll serve me something later soon, I hope.
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes you've just got to ride the wave until you get to wherever it is that you're supposed to be going on this wave. Yep. Unfortunately, we just can't always see where it's taking us and don't know how long that's going to last. I wish that we'd give you like a timetable, like a duration.
You need to deal with this for 3 more days, or, you know, even if I knew when it was going to end, then I could be like, okay, cool, no problem.
Yeah, if there was like a timetable of you'll be on this bus, you know, an itinerary, then you get the bus here and that's going to take you 20 minutes and then you're going to stop and then you're going to have a cup of tea and then we're going to go somewhere else. That would be super helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's solve someone else's life problems.
Yes.
And not mine, because mine are boring. So we have witchy wisdom this week.
What are we being asked this week?
So, someone wants to know, some friends want to learn about witchcraft. Any fun beginner spell ideas to introduce them?
Any fun beginner spell ideas?
And I have to say, it is definitely a coincidence. I didn't pick this question for today on purpose, but it just so happens that a couple days after this podcast comes out, I have an online workshop about how to craft your own spell.
Oh.
So if you've been trying spells from books and you're like, they're fine. They're fun.
Yeah.
But they're not really getting me the results I want. If you're ready to learn how to craft your own spells,
mm-hmm.
you come along to that workshop and I'll give you a framework of how to make your own spell for any intention.
I was going to say what a quinkydink, but an article that I was reading for the topic today said there's no such thing as coincidences. And I felt that. And I was like, so that's not a coincidence. That's divine timing that you're hearing mm-hmm. this. And Renee also has this workshop coming. I think that a lot of the time when people like start out with witchcraft and they're like, oh, my spells aren't working, or I'm not really feeling it or whatever, is because, mm-hmm. well, one, I think a lot of people don't take it seriously initially because like, it's just a bit of silliness, which it can be. Witchcraft absolutely can be silly. I'm not saying that as it is.
Yeah, if your intention is to have fun making a potion or doing a spell or whatever, and then you had fun doing it, intention accomplished.
And that's the whole point. It's what is the intention of what you're trying to get out of this situation. So I think you need to figure out what you want to do. So if you're just doing a spell for like love, but you're not really that interested in finding love or whatever it is, it's not really going to work. You're not really going to be that into it. The first spell that we ever did, or the first ritual that we ever did together, is what solidified witchcraft in my mind for me, because I felt it. In my soul, I was like, this shit works. And we did a releasing ritual. And it was fun because we got to set fire to shit. So we went to Renee's house because she was like, do y'all want to do this weird shit with me? And we were like, sure.
Actually, I was like, I'm going to do this spell. And then you guys were like, can we come
and do the weird shit with you? So we went to Renee's house and we had pieces of paper and we had a fireproof dish and candles. And we wrote down all of the shit that we wanted to release from our lives. And then we burned them in the pot. And I remember leaving feeling lighter, feeling like something had happened and something had changed in my life. And I was like, this shit is real. Like, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep feeling like this. It's about doing something that's going to make you feel the power of it as well.
Yeah. I designed that spell because I knew that in order to manifest all of the great things I wanted in my life, I had to first believe that I was worthy of them.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, I had some things that I needed to forgive myself for. Mm-hmm. So the intention of the spell was actually, more specifically than releasing, was self-forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the times when we're starting out in our witchcraft journey, we're trying to just like go from where we are, which is why we always talk about shadow work, is you sometimes have to look back and have to address some of the things that are holding you back before you can move forward. I thought that was a super fun one. Another one that I think is really super easy and simple to do and can be really fun if you're into it and if you have a bath is like bath magic and making yourself a nice bath, and you run the bath and you put, some people do it absolutely beautifully and they have flowers and slices of oranges and all sorts of stuff in their bath.
I've said this before, the bath in all of the petals might be really fun, but cleaning up the petals after your bath might not be so fun. So just think it all the way through before you decide how elaborate you want your bath spell to be.
Get a little strainer to put over your thing as well, so you don't get petals in your drain. But doing something that's like fun and feels like a self-care moment, but that you're adding that little bit of extra oomph and intention to, is going to make it feel more special. And you're going to feel that vibe that you're trying to create. And it's going to feel magical and you're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think about what you already like to do.
Yeah.
So if you don't like to take a bath, don't do a bath spell.
Yeah.
But if you love to take a bath, if you're like, this is my heaven, I want to be in here all day long, then amp it up and make it magical. If you're a really impatient person who needs to like move on to the next thing real quickly, Maybe a candle spell is not going to be for you, or maybe you get a birthday candle so that it burns out quickly. But just think about how to make the spell suit who you are, because it's going to feel more you. It's going to feel more special to you and therefore be more powerful. What colors do you like? Work with those. Don't work with a color that you hate just because some book says that that's the color that you should use.
Yep.
What elements are you most drawn to? Work with those. Don't work with something else just because a book says you should do that. So really, like, listen to your intuition and just follow your instincts and don't take it so seriously.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I know I was saying earlier on, some people don't take it seriously, but like, you don't have to take, it's not like we don't do high ritual magic where we're dressed in robes and chanting and all sorts of stuff like that.
If that doesn't sound fun to you, don't do it. If it sounds amazing to you, go for it.
Yeah, find a place that's doing that. As you say, it's about, we talk about making the mundane magical. How can you add magic to your life? Because I think a lot of people think they don't have time for witchcraft because they don't have time for elaborate rituals in their life. And you're like, yeah, you don't, but that's what everyday witchcraft is about making the mundane magical. How can you add magic to the things that you already either have to do or want to do? How can we make that experience more magical for you? And then you're going to have fun while doing it. It's going to make the experience more fun.
Yep, totally. One of the things that I really love is working with scent. So using essential oils as a form of magic. And that is something that you can keep in your pocket, a little like rollerball. You can throw that in your bag or keep in your pocket and select scents that you like, but also that correspond to the intention that you want to call in. And then that's something that you can roll onto your wrist as many times as you want throughout the day to focus you back on your intention. I think that's a really fun and easy one to get started with.
And you can also do that within your home. I am obsessed with my home smelling nice. Like, the thought of somebody coming to my house and it not smelling good makes me feel really anxious. So, like, I'm obsessed with my home smelling nice. So you can also do things like that within your home, whether that's getting candles that you really like, or if it's using an essential oil burner in your house, or using scented cleaning products, or making your own cleaning products, or whatever it is. Like, there's loads of ways to use lots of different things in lots of different ways as well. So it's not just about you, what's on you personally. What about your space around you? Like, you might be a hearth witch, in which case your home is your sacred space, and it might be about decorating that. It's about following what feels good for you.
Anything can be a spell if you set the intention.
So. Yeah, every word is a spell.
What are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about angel numbers.
So this episode drops on the 22nd of February, so that's a 222. And I was like, you know what? Let's do angel numbers.
Let's fucking do it. I think angel numbers are a bit like crystals. They're a gateway drug into witchcraft and spirituality.
And they're free.
They are free. Yeah, you don't need to buy
them. So you don't even have to go to a shop.
Yeah.
You just look at your clock.
Yeah. You get loads of people who are like, oh yeah, I'm really into like angel numbers and crystals. And you're like, you're a witch. Just give it, just give it time.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, come in.
Like, at what point did you realize that seeing 11:11 on the clock and making a wish was this new age magic called angel numbers and not just a thing that you did when you were 12 years old?
Yeah, well, I think it's very similar to a lot of things that we do in society that we don't realize have like magical intentions behind them. You know, we make a wish on birthday candles, you wish on a fallen star or whatever it is. Like, it's the same thing. It's like something that's kind of in the like zeitgeist, but like often we don't really talk about where it's come from or what the actual meaning behind it is. You just know that that's a thing that you do, but you don't really know why.
Yeah, so when we always ask listeners, you know, share your thoughts and your questions about the topic, and somebody sent me a message and they said, I don't get them. Like, I really want to, but I just don't. Is it purely numerology or some other system? And I think what you're saying there about it being just kind of in the ether means that, like, we've heard of angel numbers. We know that if you see repeating numbers, it's supposed to mean something. But a lot of times we don't necessarily know specifically what that is or why it should mean something or what it is. And I get that confusion, mm-hmm. but I also think to a certain extent, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I was going to say that. I think there's quite a lot of, if you see threes, this is what it means. And if you see sevens, this is what it means. And, you know, with the whole kind of numerology aspect of mm-hmm. it. And I don't know if I'm just looking up not good sites, but every numerology site I've looked up has a slightly different number, slightly different meaning. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like everything in witchcraft. Yes, there might be, you know, rose quartz, for example, is quite often commonly associated with self-love and love and vibes, blah, blah, blah. If you feel like it does something slightly different for you or entirely different for you, that's also okay. Like, yeah. you can take whatever meaning you want from it. And I think with angel numbers, yes, you can look into the numerology of it. Because I always think, like, if I see, like, 000, if I catch midnight on the clock, I'm like, mm-hmm. it's a new day, it's a new start, it's the full energy in the tarot deck, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Mm-hmm.
It's that new chance, that chance for a do-over, it's new moon energy, that sort of stuff. That's how it feels to me. For other people, it might feel like something else, I don't know. And I think, yes, you can look up these things, but also take what you want from them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I think it's similar to the discussion that we had with Lauren about signs as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you see 444 on the clock or on your odometer or on your car or on a receipt or something like that, you can, but you don't have to make a big deal out of it. It doesn't mean that something is definitely going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily an omen. It's not going to ruin your life or change your life.
If you see 666 somewhere, it doesn't mean that the devil is coming to get you. Like...
Unless you're actually in a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and you're waiting for him to arrive. Like, that might be the number you call. But I think as well, you know, we assign, they're called angel numbers. So there's, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, and I know it's something that I kind of shied away from at the start because I don't really work with angels in terms of as a concept, whereas other people do, they love their angel cards, all of that sort of stuff. And I think I'd always shied away from it because I was like, well, I'm not really into angels. But again, doing reading about it and learning more about it, you know, some people associate it with angels, some people associate it with spirit. So that could be like ancestors or, you know, loved ones. It could also just be your higher self. So similarly, when in that idea, when people are saying, well, you know, when you read tarot, are you not just making up the answers? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that thing and I'm giving it a meaning in my life, or like I'm creating it. The same with signs. Is it a sign?
I'm trusting that the meaning that has come to me is there for a reason.
Yeah. If you look at something and it makes you feel better, let it make you feel better.
Yep. Like, job done.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck if somebody says that 777 doesn't mean anything? Seven's my lucky number. And if I see three sevens, I'm going to go, oh, that looks lucky.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so you should, because it's going to make you feel lucky. And then you're going to go about your day acting as if luck is on your side. And that is how you're going to make choices. And then that is going to affect your life.
Yeah.
That's how magic works.
Yeah. And I was reading a bit about this in terms of, because one of the questions we got asked at the ICOA was like, where did angel numbers come from?
Yeah.
And I don't think, I you might have found while you were looking up, but I don't think I found like a specific, it was invented by John Smith on the 19th of February, 1922. But from what I was reading, a lot of the information dates back to like ancient Greece. Apparently, I'm reading this from Allure website, the Greek philosopher Pythagoras, and he invented lots of different mathematical, the Pythagorean theorem, you might know from doing high school mathematics, which most of us have never used since in our lives, but always interesting to know. He also believed that our reality is a physical manifestation of the energetic vibrations of numbers, that different numbers had different energetic vibrations, the same way that crystals have different energetic vibrations, and therefore numbers impacted our lives through their vibration.
I would say that the term angel numbers definitely doesn't come from Pythagoras,
no.
But the concept of numbers having significance in our lives, having sort of a spiritual meaning, can be traced back to that. You know, there's lots of numerology in Christian mysticism.
Yep. 666, the number of the beast.
In Kabbalism,
I was going to say Jewish mysticism.
Every culture has some system of numerology mm-hmm. and some significance to numbers. Of course, numbers are also invented by humans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe channeled by humans.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a numbers in and of themselves, as with language, are a human concept.
Mm-hmm.
So things mean what we all agree that they mean.
And like you were saying, the concept of angel numbers itself, I think, is in the early 2000s that the sort of term angel numbers sort of came about.
I saw a source that said that the term had been floating around since like maybe the 70s or 80s, but kind of throughout the sort of new age kind of wave that's been going on, but that it was sort of more officially coined by an author called Doreen Virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a New Age author, and she wrote a couple of books about angel numbers. And then interestingly, I looked her up, and later she went back to being a full-on Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But the very fact that they're called angel numbers indicates to me that they have a basis in sort of, if not specifically a Christian ideology, then definitely a Western ideology that is permeated by Christianity.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's necessarily... Like we say, the roots of numerology are not necessarily a Western idea.
No,
I'm sure
no.
a lot of Eastern religions will have.
Just the term angel numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, I think that puts people off sometimes if you're not into like angels, and you might think that it's specifically about God and Christianity and those sorts of things or religions.
Well, we were talking earlier about coincidences.
Yeah.
And of course, Carl Jung gave us the term synchronicity.
Yeah.
And so seeing these repeating numbers is a form of synchronicity. It can be seen simply as a way for the universe to communicate to us what it is specifically trying to communicate. You can, if you want to, Google and do a bunch of research and spend a lot of time trying to figure that out,
mm-hmm.
or you can just see it, look to your intuition, and kind of trust that you know what you need to know from that moment.
Yeah, and, you know, numbers come up all the time. We all have birth dates that have numbers in them. You can, if you follow numerology, you can work out your life path number from your birth date, which, interestingly enough, my lucky number has been 7 since I was in primary 6, which means I was 8, maybe, because my teacher used to get us to do these projects throughout the year, and the people who did the best ones got a prize. And that year at Easter, he had Easter eggs, but he bought an extra Easter egg by accident. So he did a game where he like wrote down a number on a piece of paper. He went outside the room, wrote down a number on a piece of paper, and then he went through the register and asked people to guess what the number was. It was like between 1 and 49 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was first on the register because my previous second name started with an A. And he said my name, and I went 7. And he said, did you see me write that down? And I was like, you left the room. Like, how would I have seen you? And he was like, right, well, Louise has won the Easter egg because the number was 7. So that's been my lucky number since then. My life path number is also 7.
Oh, great. Which is mine's really 9.
Which is really interesting.
I had to say, your teacher didn't really do a very good job of thinking through how he was going to get everybody to give the numbers, because that's really a letdown.
Yeah, I know. Everybody else in the class is like, oh, fuck.
Right? But also, like, other people could have also picked 7, so.
Well, yeah, it was just whoever said 7 first was the
yeah.
person that was going to do it, yeah.
My last name starts with an R, and so I would have been way down the list, and I would have been pissed at you.
Yeah, exactly. He really should have got us to draw numbers out, and whoever got the right number.
Uh-huh.
But that's what he did, and I won the Easter egg fair and square, Renee.
Yes.
And it was a Mars bar Easter egg, and it was delicious.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was so good. So you have that kind of numerology, but the thing about angel numbers is that, which is why if I see 7s, I was like, oh, that's my number. But the thing about numerology is it's not necessarily linked to anything about you as a person. So mm-hmm. like if you see 1111 or 31s or whatever, that's not... And you choose to find meaning in that. It's not necessarily because that's your birthday or it's whatever. It's just that vibration or that feeling that you get mm-hmm. from that number about it. It's not necessarily that you have to have a certain date of birth to like a certain angel number or any of that kind of stuff.
I like to think with things like this and other signs and synchronicities as well, like it's just a moment for me to pause and remember that we live in an extraordinary universe.
Yeah.
And just let my mind be gently blown for a second about all of the bajillion things that had to happen in just the right way, just the right time for me to like be in that moment where I saw that thing and it registered in my conscious mind for me to be a conscious being. I don't know. I just get a little philosophical, I guess.
Yeah, you do. You just get like that. Oh, look at that. If you're out in the car and it hits like 11:11 and you're like, oh, it's 11:11. Or when you, if you manage to catch the clock bang on midnight when it's 0000, if it's a digital clock. Yeah, it's just.
That counts in 24 hours.
Yeah, not 12. Yeah, you just get that. Oh, what a treat to have caught that.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to have that like deep spiritual meaning. Like, I don't know what all the numbers in numerology stand for. Also, like you say, some of them are just like, you know, you have fives in tarot and fives are about conflict. Why is five about conflict? What is that about a five that makes people think of conflict? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
some of the numbers really make sense. So like, you know, a zero, as you said, is that fool energy. It's that fresh start. The old thing from high school was 11:11, make a wish.
Yeah.
And that one, it's that sort of ace energy. It's that potential for manifestation. The one in the major arcana is the magician. So you make a wish because you're wanting things to happen, right? Mm-hmm. It's pure. It's brand new. It's simple. You know, a two is about duality. It's about looking at both sides of things. It's about doubling. Mm-hmm. So like a two is a really good number for abundance magic because you're doubling what you have. You think of like a four is really about stability. A four-legged table is more stable than a three-legged table, stuff like that. A nine being at the end of the cycle is going to be sort of that world energy of the ending of one cycle and the beginning of another. So, and you know, eight representing, you know, sort of infinity, connection to the spirit realm, sort of that, again, that Pisces energy of everything everywhere. So some of them I think do make sense instantly. Some of them I'm like, I don't remember what that means, but here's how I feel right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And just when you were talking about like 24 hour clocks, it's not really a thing that you guys do in America, is it, a 24 hour clock?
Nope.
Yeah. Whereas,
unless you're in the military.
Like when you were saying zero, I was like, my clock definitely says 0000, like at midnight, but that's because we tend to use 24 hour time in the UK. So like you get like 23:23 or 22:22, all of those types of things, which is obviously four twos, or you can look at 22 as a number in its own right, or 23 as a number in its own right. So it gives you kind of like more space, and sometimes people look at it as a two and a three together as that kind of energy, as opposed to 23 as a number. But yeah, I think it's just about what feels good for you when you're looking at angel numbers.
You said you like to see sevens. Is there anything else that you're like, ooh, yeah, that one's for me?
I always like the zeros actually on my digital clock, because like I said earlier, that feels like a fresh start.
Yeah.
It's like new day, new start.
And at least for me, I know that would not be something that I would see on a regular basis.
Yeah, very rarely. That and ones as well, because they feel for me like ones are kind of like that energy of just like starting out on on something, starting out on your journey. I like sevens as well. Probably fours. There's something about fours as well. Maybe like you were saying, it's that stability. 444.
Very Taurus energy.
Yeah, very Taurus energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of your favorites?
I actually like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh yeah, when you get that, that's very rare, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I see it often.
Oh, rare.
And you know, again, it's like, is it because I'm paying attention to it and looking out for it and trying to see it? Who cares? But I do. I get excited when I see that, because to me, it feels like being on the right track. Having all the numbers in sequence, like I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah, you're moving in the right sequence of things. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, I probably will have at some point in my life.
Because you're not looking for it, so you haven't activated your reticular activating system.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, the more something resonates with you, the more likely you are to pick up on it. You're more likely to notice it, than you are to see, yeah, like a, if 23 is not a number I'm interested in, I'm probably not going to see 23 very often, or 1, 2, 3, 4. Whereas if that's something that's activated, as you say, in your brain, then that's something that you're going to pick up. I always feel with like the numbers above, like six and mm-hmm. above are hard to see regularly because mm-hmm. like most of the time I'm seeing them from looking at a clock.
Yeah.
Might get like 6 a.m., but you're not going to get 666 on a mm-hmm. clock because that's actually... Yeah. 7
that's six minutes past seven.
That's not a real thing. Do you know what I mean? And you're not going to get like nines, a series of nines on a clock mm-hmm. or things like that. So I always think that the higher numbers are kind of harder to see. Like it might be like a 77 bus or something like that you might mm-hmm. see, or the 99 bus or something.
Yeah. So if you're really, really desperate for a sign and you're like, I really want to see this, and you ask for 888.
Yeah,
you're making it hard on yourself.
Yeah, you absolutely are. If you're looking for eights, it might be difficult. Sevens might be okay if you're in a casino and you get those little mm-hmm. like sevens that come up in the casino. But yeah, I think the higher the numbers becomes more difficult to get in a sequence type thing. But yeah, I like sevens because it's my lucky number.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, they don't actually have anything to do with like specific angels. I don't know. I don't know enough about angel lore. I don't know what
angel lore. Yeah,
I don't know enough about angels to know if they have numbers assigned to them, but I think they may. But I think that in general, the concept of angel numbers is not specifically tied to angels with names and certain properties and stuff like that. It's just about like communication from divine realms.
Yeah, because I think the angel number thing for some people is when you see an angel number, there's an angel nearby. So it's that mm-hmm. kind of like divine guardian type vibe that someone's there, someone's watching over you. So that again could be an angel if you believe in angels. It could be a spirit guide. It could be an ancestor. It could, like you say, be a message that you're supposed to receive. That 1, 2, 3, 4 is your higher self telling you, or your angel or your guide or whoever it is telling you you're on the right path. I'm actually just looking this up. I can't see anything that suggests that angel numbers are specifically linked to any particular angel.
I mean, given the detail with which scholars of Jewish mysticism and things like that have analyzed every number in every religious text ever written, there probably is some sort of numerological yeah. association, but I don't think it really comes into play with this concept of seeing 1111 on the clock.
And also, from what I can tell, if we were to go through angels in theology, I think there's a fuck ton of angels. And they're like, they are, again, similarly to the angel numbers, they kind of do different things for different people
mm-hmm.
in terms of what energies they bring. Like some people believe, you know, Michael brings a certain type of energy and Gabriel brings a different type of, now I'm feeling tested on my
mm-hmm. I don't angels. Know anything about any of that.
A lot of what I know about angels is from watching Supernatural, and they're not that great in Supernatural. A lot of them are bad dudes, so
yeah,
that's how I know their names from watching Supernatural, but I don't really know anything other than like when I went to church and Gabriel came down and told Mary that she was pregnant. Like mm-hmm. that's basically the
yeah, they're kind of your superstar angels, right? That get a lot of press.
Yeah, uh-huh. Some of them are more fit, and if you watch Supernatural, that you know
the A-list angels versus the D-list angels.
There's definitely some resentment amongst the angels as Hoomst gets the best treatment and all of that sort of stuff. And obviously we have Lucifer, the fallen angel, but I don't really know an awful lot about angels mm-hmm. as like a source of support or inspiration or any of that kind of stuff. To me, they kind of feel like a bit about them the way I feel about deities, and that I see deities as like an energy
mm-hmm.
representative of an energy in society, or in on earth, not in society, that was the wrong thing, a representative of facet of the universal energy that we experience. Mm-hmm. And for me, angels I feel would be the same, but I'm just more into pagan gods than I have to angels. So that feels more resonant to me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, totally.
There's a really good chance that they're all the same thing.
I mean, I think they definitely are.
Yeah.
All the same thing.
Yeah, they're all universal energy.
I won't Joseph Campbell you to death, but
no.
You know, as you just said, they're all, as are all of us.
Yeah.
You know, facets of God, of source, of, as I like to say, the love that binds the universe.
Yeah. And that's why we pick up on these angel numbers, because it's actually, as Tony was saying, you know, we're all made of that universal energy. It's why we can tap into spirit, because it's part of us. It's who we are. Is why we pick up on the angel numbers, because it's just our spirit tapping into the rest of the spirit of the universe. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you see an angel number somewhere, it can make you feel pretty awesome.
It can.
In the moment.
Yeah.
What's making you feel awesome this week?
I actually had a couple of things to choose between this week, which doesn't regularly happen. So nice. I've saved one of them for the future in case there's a less awesome week that I need. Oh, so the thing that I'm saving is something that I just, is it like an object that I just got? And I was like, maybe I should take more time to like use it and stuff. Yeah, before before we chat about it. But I'm going to talk to you about an experience I had this week. So I had been seeing on Instagram and stuff for ages this rock orchestra.
Yeah.
Advertised, and I really wanted to go for ages. So Brian got his tickets.
Are we talking about rock as in rock and roll or rock as in minerals?
Rock as in rock and roll, yeah.
Okay.
Imagine a crystal orchestra. That would be, I don't even know what they would do.
Like, I don't know either, but if there was one, you would go to it.
Oh, absolutely, I would. I love an orchestra. I love all types of rock. But yeah, no, this is a rock music orchestra.
Right, okay.
So Brian got his tickets to go to that on we went on Tuesday night in our timeline.
This also sounds like the perfect date night for you guys.
It was fucking amazing. I loved it so much. So it's an orchestra, so they have like violins and cellos and trumpets and trombones and all of these sorts of things. They also have, they have a percussionist, but they also have a drummer.
Right.
And okay, they play rock songs on mm-hmm. their instruments. So they play things like AC/DC. They played things like Papa Roach. They played My Chemical Romance. They played Metallica. They played The Cranberries. They played all of these different rock songs. Some of them they had singers with. Some of them it was just the orchestra. And it was absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
And they had like, it was like electric violins, which had like effects pedals that made them sound like electric guitars sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's a woman playing the violin. I didn't know violins could make that type of noise. It was so phenomenal to watch these people play these instruments. One of the musicians, he played the saxophone, the flute, and the piccolo at various different times in the show. And I was just like, the talent of the people up on the stage, and to be able to take instruments that don't generally play that type of music, and just, oh, it was absolutely amazing. It was awesome. So if you're into rock music and you are also into orchestras, which might be a weird clash, but I love both of those things. If you're into classical music and rock music and you see the rock orchestra coming to a town near you, I would definitely recommend going, because I thought they were fan-fucking-tastic.
That sounds really fun. Like, I could totally see you and Brian, like, just being totally into it.
Oh, I was just absolutely amazed. Like, goosebumps on my arms at times with just like how fucking amazing this all, the musicians were. At the end, they played Killing in the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine, which you would not expect to be played by an orchestra. It was fantastic. And we got, they were like, get up, stand up and stuff like that. And they're like, if you want to mosh, this is your time. And I was like,
oh, no.
This is why I now go to events like this, because I want to listen to this music, but I want to sit down.
Yeah.
I don't want to mosh. I want to watch from my seat and maybe eat a little bit of popcorn or some ice cream. Yeah, so it was a really good night. The music was amazing. It's the type of music I love anyway, but then to hear it in that like different format was so amazing. So I was like, maybe I'm in my theatre girl era, because we're going to see Cirque du Soleil in a few weeks as well. And then I was looking up tickets for something else and I was like, they're just so fucking expensive. Like, I can't afford to be in my theatre girl era, actually. So let's maybe not.
Give it another 10 years.
Yeah. Maybe then.
We like to, well, I say we like to, a couple of times I've gotten to go for free or cheap to the Royal Concert Hall here in Glasgow and hear the Scottish Symphony play movie scores.
Yeah.
So one was sort of a general, like, famous movie score night. And we took some kids from school to that. This was like 2 weeks after I started in the school. It was crazy.
I remember that.
But then another time through work, we also got cheap tickets to go to a Star Wars themed one. And I took my husband and I was like, I don't know if he's going to like this or not. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, you're going to the symphony.
Yeah.
But of course you don't have to listen. You're not listening to music that's 100 years old. You're listening to, something from your favorite film that's really evocative and emotional. And it was so cool. And he loved it as well.
Yeah. I think there's quite a worry sometimes if you go to like the orchestra or the symphony or whatever, that like, what are you going to watch? But actually watching the people play the instruments, I find just as interesting as watching a show, because I'm like, how are you doing that?
Yeah. And similar to it, the way that we've talked about sound cleansing, like you can actually feel the vibration of the instruments as well. And it's different from going to like a rock concert or a pop concert or something like that. Obviously, it's so loud, you can't not feel it. But like the subtle different shifts when different instruments or different sections of the orchestra are playing and things like that. I really like it a lot.
Well, that was something that I was saying to my husband on the way home, because obviously a lot of the songs that they played, all of the songs that they played don't have those instruments in it. So somebody's had to listen to those songs and pinpoint the melodies of each individual instrument to build that sort. Because, the trumpets are not playing the same tune that the violins are playing, or not playing the same tune that the viola's playing, is not playing the same tunes that the trombone player is playing. So somebody has had to sit and listen to a rock song that maybe has like two guitars and a bass and a drum and add 15 other instruments to that and still makes it sound, obviously not exactly the same, but damn well close that you can go, I know exactly what that song is, and that's an incredible version of that song. So just like the artistry that must have gone into creating that show, and you could tell that the musicians were loving it, that they were having a great time as well. So again, you feel that vibration, that energy coming through as well, that these people clearly are enjoying this music, which was really, really cool. So yeah, if you get a chance to see it, if you're interested in rock music, I would recommend it, because it was absolutely amazing.
Fun.
Amazing. What is making you feel awesome this week?
Well, in my timeline on Saturday, I had my in-bulk growth ritual, and it was lovely. We got to use the fire pit.
Amazing.
The fire was just really getting roaring when it started to rain. But we got a good like 20 minutes out there, and that was really nice. But my favorite thing, even more than the orange cheesecake brownies.
Oh, delicious.
Was that we had two brand new witches in the circle with us at Imbolc. And they were both so lovely and a little bit nervous coming in because they'd never been to anything witchy before. And, of course, I did my best to welcome them. But we talk a lot about the community that we cultivate through our witchcraft, and just seeing the people who have been to several, if not all, of my events before, like just really welcoming in new people, making it a safe space to not know, to ask questions, to be a learner. I was just so pleased with the day, and they seemed to both really enjoy it. Got some positive feedback, which is always lovely and helps me, especially when I'm going through a phase where I'm like, oh, I'm in there. So it's nice to know that I put out something that people enjoyed, but I really hope that they felt welcome and that they left feeling more confident about their witchcraft path, and that they're now going to go on and experiment even more to learn about what kind of witch they want to grow into.
Amazing.
Honored to be part of that journey.
I love that. It's always so nice to meet new people in the community. I think, again, we talk all the time about how witchcraft can seem intimidating to people, and you're supposed to go to this ritual and you're supposed to do X, Y, Z. And so many people do go to your events and are like, oh, this is not what I thought, but in a good way. Like, it's not as, scary and serious. It's just us supporting ourselves and empowering ourselves. And I think the more people that we can introduce to that empowerment, the better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come to the dark side. We have orange cheesecake brownies.
Yeah. But also, like, my brand of witchcraft, there's so much space for laughter and play and fun. Yeah. Like, it's sacred, but it's not serious.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Irreverent reverence, or yes. Reverent irreverence, as Pam Grossman always calls it.
Yeah, exactly. I love that idea of we can be playful and be connected to spirit at the same time. Mm-hmm. When we did the introduction, I had everybody go around and say hello because there were new people. So mm-hmm. I wanted to make mm-hmm. sure everybody knew who everyone was. And I said, you know, tell us your name. Tell us, you know, if you know what kind of witch you are, tell us what kind of witchcraft you like to practice. And if you don't know, that's also fine. Or if you like mm-hmm. everything, that's great too. And then tell us, because it was in bulk, your favorite kind of cheese.
Love it.
So that was just like such a fun icebreaker to mm-hmm. kind of get everybody talking about food, which everybody loves. So even if you don't like the same kind of food as the person next to you, you can't not be happy when you're talking about cheese.
Yeah, absolutely not. That sounds amazing. I'm so glad it went well. I'm so glad you got some new witches joining the coven and that they got something out of the day as well and felt accepted. Because again, that's also a worry when you join a new community is mm-hmm. What if no one likes me? What if I don't like get accepted? What if I'm, you know, not allowed to be part of the community? So I think what you're offering people, that chance to come in and be part of the community, no judgment, no requirements other than show up and love and be kind to each other. That's all we ask for you. Don't be a dick.
Yep.
is the one rule, guys. That's all we ask.
There is.
You can be part of our community as long as you're not a dick.
Yep. Absolutely.
I love that.
Well, kids, if you've seen any angel numbers lately, if you have thoughts on the meaning of angel numbers, get in touch. Send us an email at awesomeon20@gmail.com. Let us know what you think in the Coven of Awesomeness Facebook group. Get mm-hmm. yourself into that. We've been getting a lot of new members lately.
It's taken off over there.
Come hang out with us on Instagram. I'm at Renee_awesomeon20.
I'm at Louise_awesomeon20.
You'll find show notes with links to everything we talked about in this episode at awesomeon20.com/episode141. There's lots of deliciousness over there this week. The schedule has been weird. So 3 new recipes since the last time we spoke. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Patreons got the recipe for a vanilla ginger mojito.
A mojito is my favorite cocktail. That sounds freaking delicious.
Yeah, it's real good. I used mm-hmm. it like an actual vanilla pod, vanilla bean to make the vanilla ginger syrup. And I just want to like pour it in my mouth.
Just like drown me in that, please. And thank you.
If you join me for Lunasaw, you've tried the lemon polenta cake.
Was that the first cake you ever made?
I don't know.
For us, it was lemon something. It was either lemon polenta cake or lemon ginger bars. I can't remember.
I think it's the lemon ginger bars.
Maybe. I've eaten the lemon polenta cake multiple times also, and it's fucking delicious.
It's really, really great. It's also gluten-free. Mm-hmm. It has like a lemon syrup that you drizzle over it as it's cooling, so that like soaks into it. And it's kind of crumbly because it's made with cornmeal. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it so much. And then there's a cheesy chorizo chili, and it's made with chopped up like fresh mozzarella.
What?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird, it's not your typical chili recipe. It's based on a Nigella Lawson recipe. So this is an English person trying to make chili, mm-hmm. but it's good stuff.
Listen, I like chili as much as the next gal. Whatever that is, even if it's not real chili, it sounds fucking delicious and I'm going to eat it anyway.
It is. It's very tasty and lots of great textures going on. What else do I want to tell you about? Pisces season workshop, how to craft a spell. Mention that at the top of the show. Go grab your ticket. That is on the 25th of February on Zoom, available to anyone around the world. And so is my full moon guidance, journal prompts, tarot guidance, guided meditation. Check it out. If you like it and you want it all the time, join the Moon Magic membership.
Amazing. That sounds super fun. 5 maybe the number of conflict in tarot. But on Spotify and other podcast platforms, five is the number of stars that you should give this podcast.
Ah, nice.
I did it.
Yes.
Because this is a five-star podcast. We give excellent content every damn week. Mm-hmm. 141 episodes. Never miss an episode yet. It also really helps us if you give us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform, because it helps other people see the podcast. It helps other people. It comes up in like recommendations and stuff for them. Lets people know that other folk think it's a good podcast and then therefore they should also listen to it. So that's super helpful if you can do that for us. If you want to be even more awesome, you can subscribe at patreon.com/awesome120, where you'll get loads and loads of cool content for as little as £1 a month. The number one is all about trying new things. It's about starting out in that journey. Why don't you start out on your journey on Patreon with us by giving us £1 a month? You'll be inducted into the ICOA, the International Coven of Awesomeness, where the most awesome human beings ever to grace the earth exist. And we share memes and we share jokes. I shared a meme about deviled eggs the other day because deviled eggs always remind me of Renee. I don't know why, but just because you've got, I think, multiple deviled egg recipes on your blog. And you're the only person I ever hear talking about them. So I'm
They're
like,
so good.
Yeah. She's a deviled egg evangelist. Yeah, you can hear all about us talking about deviled eggs, sharing magic memes, sharing advice, asking questions of each other, welcoming new members. You also get a shout out on the podcast. If you've listened to any of the previous podcasts, you'll hear us do shout outs because we love to just thank the people who are supporting us, because it literally means everything to us. It pays our bills. So we absolutely, we so appreciate it. You'll also get 13% off Renee's Sagittarian Tarot and coaching services. So if you want any access to any of those events that Renee was talking about just before, if you spend £1, you get 13% off. And the 13% is more than £1. So then you save money.
Yep.
Girl maths, witch maths, do it. That's how it works. And you also get early access, which means that you can sign up before everybody else if you sign up through Patreon.
Swoop on in. Someday those events are going to be sold out like that. It's going to be like Taylor Swift madness. So
yeah, absolutely. Eras Tour madness is coming soon. So you want to get early access to those events. If you want to subscribe at one of the higher tiers, you can get so much bonus content. As Renee said a couple of episodes ago, prolific content creation goes on at the Awesome 120 HQ, which is Renee, essentially. And you also get all the content from the previous tiers as well. So at the next highest tier, you get ad-free recipes, moon journal prompts that Renee was talking about. You get a monthly bonus video where we do Witches Watch. We talk about a film or TV show that we've been watching. At the next highest tier, you get a spell or a ritual each month from one of us. You also get the Patreon exclusive recipe. So if you want that vanilla ginger mojito, get over to Patreon. I will be going there promptly to find that recipe and make one for myself. And you also get extended editions of the podcast. So if you want to hear my hilarious story about someone maybe climbing out a window at the start of this podcast, you're going to have to subscribe on Patreon to hear that story, because we cut out some of the juicy bits and we leave them in for the Patreon subscribers. At the highest tier, you can join our book club. You also get a custom monthly 3-card tarot spread from Renee direct to your inbox each month. There's an abundance, numerology, we couldn't even count how many things that were given out to you for free, an abundance of content.
Yeah, I actually had somebody unsubscribe from the Patreon and they were like, you're giving me too much stuff.
Wow.
Sorry.
Listen, nicer problems to have, folks. We're giving away, quote, too much stuff at the Patreon. You heard it directly from one of our listeners. We're giving away too much stuff. So come and hang out with us on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/awesomeon20.
I don't have anything number related to say.
To quote Mean Girls, the limit of my love for you does not exist.
Nice.
There's no number high enough to describe it.
I've never seen Mean Girls.
Renee, add it to the list. For Witches Watch.
Okay. All right. I'll put it on as soon as
add it to the list. How did, but we might need to do an episode about Mean Girls now. Oh my goodness. I can't believe this.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
I'm in trouble.
I'm storming off in a huff.
Oh no.
We'll see y'all later.
Am I not allowed to sit at your table anymore?
You get, why do you know that reference? But you've never seen.
I mean, because that's a thing that people always do.
Yeah, you can't sit with us.
Okay. All right.
And then if we watch the film, you'll understand the references that people are making all around you, and you're just not picking them up.
Okay. All right, fine. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I would say the win.